Notes of the Work During the Week of Prayer. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, Australia. June 16, 1898. On Sunday afternoon, the Lord gave me words to speak to the people. The house was full, and many, not of our faith, were present. The Lord gave me a message for them. My heart was filled with a longing desire that the precious souls before me might see the truth and come to the Savior with all their burdens. He will receive all who come and will give them His grace. I felt an earnest desire to open to the people the missionary field right around us. As the disciples pressed round Christ after His conversation with the Samaritan woman, urging Him to eat, He answered, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." The disciples were perplexed and said, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work. Say ye not, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together." John 4, verse 32 to 36. So we say that there is work to do in the fields within our sight, if we would but lift up our eyes and look. It was a precious satisfaction to Christ to have such an interview as He had with the woman of Samaria. Often, when giving the most precious lessons, He was interrupted by the scribes and Pharisees, while the attention of His hearers turned into channels of questions and unbelief. He could speak freely to this poor, sinful woman, giving her to drink of the water of life. He knew that she would communicate the truth to her countrymen. Leaving her water pot, she hastened away, bearing a surprising message to those in the city. "He told me all things that ever I did," she said. So when the Samaritans were come unto Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy saving, for we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Verses 29, 40 to 42. I am not now penning my discourse, but merely giving the facts concerning the field here that must be worked. Precious souls are to be saved here, and the Lord will work by whom He will to enable souls to understand the science of salvation. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Jesus came to our world, His divinity clothed with humanity. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. He came to reveal God's love for a sinful, fallen world. He did not love sin, but He loved the sinner, and He came to restore the moral image of God in man. He came in human nature to live the law that is the representation of God's character. He declared, "I have kept my Father's commandments." Satan and his synagogue had made the excuse that man could not keep the commandments of God. Standing at the head of humanity, Christ removed this excuse from all. The probation that has been granted to the human race is the proof that Satan is a liar. Christ came as a man. He was tempted in all points as man is tempted, and yet He could challenge His opponents, the scribes and Pharisees, to find any sin in him. They were desirous to find something whereof they might accuse him and deprive him, the life-giver, of life. But he said to them, "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" John 8, verse 46. Who among you can prove one charge against me? God's law is hated in this age of the world's history because it condemns sin in the flesh. But the love of God dwells in the heart of the obedient. Adam lost beautiful Eden through disobedience. He was cut off from access to the tree of life. Angels guarded it with flaming swords, which turned every way, that in their disobedience men should not eat of it, and thus become immortal sinners. Men are now on test and trial. "I am Alpha and Omega," Christ declares, "the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." Revelation 22, verse 13, 14. The disobedient have no place in this city. Rebellion can never enter there. Only the loyal and the true, who keep the commandments of God, shall have a right to the tree of life and enter the heavenly city.
My spirit was stirred within me to bear the testimony which the Lord urged me to bear, to arouse every soul in the school to gather all they possibly could of an intelligent knowledge of the Scriptures, and then bring this knowledge into their practical life. This school is to be a shining light, a blessing to others. Said Christ, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. Lay hold of Christ by living faith. Remember that rest is promised to those who wear his yoke, putting away all tendency to unbelief. Accept the invitation. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 29. This is the sure promise of Christ, and there will be no failure in its fulfillment, for he is true and faithful. The faith of those who believe every word of God is accounted unto them for righteousness. We need to cultivate a trustful dependence on God, saying, as did the Apostle Paul, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." We see a great work to be done in the home life for young men and young women. They need to be taught to take up the work that is appointed them. Paul's injunction to Timothy was, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." God's servants must throw off all inclination to sloth. Take hold of the light given you, and hold it fast. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy 2, verse 1-3. Those who do not cultivate a talent of imparting will soon lose their power to do the work for this time. This work requires physical, mental, and moral power. As we exercise our talents in God's service, heavenly angels will be close by our side. "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away, concerning faith have made shipwreck." 1 Timothy 1, verse 18-19. Much higher attainments are possible for all by sanctification through the truth. Every soul who entered the school of Christ as a learner will take special heed how he hears. Youth and children can hear to a purpose. One little girl, 2.5 years old, heard me speak to the mothers, urging them to give their children something to do and not allow them to be idle. When she went home, she said to her little sister, who is 2 years older than she, "Jackie, you know what Sister White said. For Christ's sake, give your children something to do." She lisped out these words with special earnestness. Thus, the words spoken by God's servants may be remembered by little children. If we can speak with such simplicity that little children will hear our words and communicate them as did this little child, we may take courage. Even very small children are to be under the rule of Christ. They can do missionary work in the family from their standpoint, and the Lord will accept their service. They can speak their childlike words for Jesus and awaken an echo in other young hearts. Many older people have been led to Jesus by the simple words of a child. In many instances, children have put to shame those who have had many opportunities and much experience, but who have done little for the Master, and whose talents are rusting from inaction. At 9 o'clock, I read and talked for more than an hour to the students. I felt a longing desire that they should understand their privileges and make the most of their time at school. I told them that while here they were to advance and obtain a more solid experience, that they might be rooted and grounded in the truth. Our greatest drawback is that so few of us believe the Word of God and trustfully rely on it, accepting Christ's invitation and consecrating ourselves to His service. After I had finished, the youth gave many precious testimonies for Christ. Oh, that God will lead these precious souls, that when the school term shall close, they may have heard the teaching of the Word of God to some purpose, and will show what good they have received by seeking to impart. The youth can let their light shine. They can work for the Master. They can impart to others the divine comfort and hope and grace they have received. The psalmist prayed, "That thy way may be made known upon the earth, and thy saving health among all nations." Psalm 67, verse 2. The medical missionary work is work that all who will may undertake. Oh, that a heavenly current of vital air would sweep moral and physical sickness from the world. Oh, that human agencies would cooperate with divine instrumentalities to impart health and vigor and piety. Then a heavenly atmosphere will prevail. The prosperity of our churches in every locality depends on the cooperation of the members with Jesus Christ. Through evil report as well as good, they are to follow Him. He is only waiting for channels through whom He can work.